Well, imagine pouring fresh milk on your cereal and knowing exactly where that milk came from and the story of the cow that provided it. North Waikato farmer Chris Faulkner is in the business of keeping happy cows, he says, and he wants to bring customers as close to his farm gate as possible. Chris joins me now. Hi there.
Kia ora, Jesse.
The happy cow model. How different is this to the usual model?
Well, the first thing to say is that the happy cow model is partly about the mode of processing. So it's cutting out a whole bunch of levels and steps between the farmer and the consumer. And it's also about how we farm. So it's kind of at both ends of the scale, really, where it comes from and how it gets to where it's going.
Got it. So have you participated in the other system, the former system? Have you moved away from the traditional way to pioneer this happy cow model?
Well, we've been farming a little bit differently to the convention for quite a few years. So we've been once a day milking for 8 years now. There's a bunch of things that we don't do, such as we don't have bobby calves, we don't apply artificial fertilizer, we don't use palm kernel to feed the cows. And what that meant is that we were pretty closely aligned with some of the ethos around the happy cow processing and the happy cow method. So when it came to looking for a farmer to trial the processing equipment, we were quite a natural fit.
Yeah, tell me about the processing and what you do differently to other forms of milk production.
Well, in terms of production, we're a very low input model. We farm very much with our values first, and however we farm has to take account of those values. So we don't have some of the traditional metrics up front like profit and production and return on capital. Those things are an outcome of satisfying all the other things that are important to us. So that's kind of the way we farm. And in terms of the processing, we basically turn a different tap on at the cow shed, and the milk gets diverted into these processing cans, and everything happens inside these tanks. And we can then send those tanks directly to where they're being dispensed without the milk seeing the light of day or being pumped again or handled again or packaged. So it just sort of streamlines everything between us and the consumer.
What's the advantage of that?
Well, I think the first thing is that we're in direct touch with the consumer. So I think the milk comes to them from us as opposed to an aggregated milk pool. The second thing is the way the milk is transported, it gives people options for how they want to consume it. So you can bring your own bottle to wherever it's being dispensed and fill your own something, whatever it is you've got hanging around your kitchen. Or you can, as some of the kids do at the school, just bring their bowl straight to the dispenser with the cereal already in it and just tip the milk straight on or into a glass for consuming. So it just means that some of those traditional means of getting milk from A to B are cut out, and it just gives people options around how they want to do that for themselves.
Does it taste any different?
Well, our milk, the only process it goes through is it's pasteurised. So for food safety regulations, that's important. But otherwise, it's pretty much as I'm used to drinking it out of the vat myself. Because it's not homogenised or standardised, it's a seasonal product that can be anything from sort of 5 to 5.5% fat and 4 to 4.5% protein. So it's got a lot more nutrient per liter in it, and I think what that does is it gives it a sort of fuller feel. It's richer, and it's got sort of almost like a sweet vanilla-y kind of a flavor to it that people tell me they really like.
You mentioned the values. What are those values that you're trying to act on and embody in your work?
We just want to be respectful of the landscape that we operate in. And we want to be respectful of the history of the landscape as well. You know, we recognize that we're not the first people here. And where we are has a long history of nourishing and nurturing communities. And if we're going to keep doing that, then that's got to be at the front of our mind. So, you know, environment, community, the people that our business touches, so staff and contractors and everyone that comes here have to be happy and safe, but also, you know, water and soil and air and biodiversity, that they all sit very high on our list of things to consider when we make decisions.
Do you make less money doing it this way?
What we've been able to do is premium. The product we produce is a premium product, and people will pay more for it. So no, I don't think so. But even without that, we do pretty well as a business, because we're very focused on how we operate, and it just gives us insights that perhaps others don't have. So we've had to be very careful with the way we operate, and that flows through to our business as a whole. So we think we do pretty well, yeah.
Someone told me it was the banks that was the problem with the dairy model in New Zealand, that it was the banks demanding you make choices on your farm that will maximise whatever, the profit or you know, the income per acre. Is that something that you've come across?
Well, we were and are, I guess you'd say, one of these highly leveraged farmers. We were, unfortunately, when we bought the farm, the milk price was very high. This was 8 years ago, and the following year it was it fell dramatically, you know, from over $8 to $3 something. And we were sort of at a crossroads whereby we could continue to do more of what we did conventionally, which was quite a safe route and quite a well-traversed route. But instead, we decided to sort of throw it all in the bin and build something that we felt comfortable with, that also delivered the things that we needed it to. It was a little bit fraught for a while, but we've got enough history behind us now that the things we do are well documented. We've got our expenses and budgets and accounts for years behind us now, and that kind of builds confidence. So, but there's no question it's a risk, but I think financial institutions are more open now than they were 5 to 10 years ago to these kinds of things.
Just quickly, a couple of people asking how you managed to not have bobby calves. Can you explain that one for them?
Well, we don't use any dairy bulls over our herd. So we buy and we effectively recycle other people's cows to replace our herd. And that means that we can use beef bulls on all of our cows. And what that means is that there's a market for every calf that's born on our farm. So we take direct responsibility for all the animals born on the farm, and we think they have a value, and we think that other people see the value in those animals, provided that we do everything the right way by them.
Good one. Very pleased to hear a bit about your business today. Chris, thanks for your time.
Thanks for your time, Jesse.
See you. Chris Faulkner, the North Waikato farmer, and the business of keeping happy cows.